Shall we kneel this evening? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for all that you have given unto us throughout this day. We're thankful for the time of rest, of spiritual contemplation about the welfare of our souls and the needs and the concerns which we have. We pray now that throughout the remainder of this service, we would continue to have your Spirit with us, and that you would bless the speaker of this hour. Give to him wisdom and instruction. As he opens his mouth, we do pray that you will guide his thoughts and give him the ability to express himself, that we may understand his message this night. We ask now that you will bless those who are not with us, those who have lost an interest in attending. We pray that you will strengthen them and help them and call them back. We ask for the work of the gospel, that you will send it forth with great power and might, that you will call forth more laborers into your vineyard in all of its parts and places of necessity. Now we ask these favors in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you. please give to your brother Ken your attention and your prayers. Thank you, Brother Jay. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful thought. The Lord has promised us that we can have peace in the midst of trial and trouble and tribulation. We can have that peace that only comes from God. You know, my sermon is not about that particular subject tonight. My sermon's about prayer. But it's fitting. That song was fitting. Because of prayer, we can approach the Lord in all our needs. And in return, He will give us guidance and direction and will give us that peace. What an avenue that the Lord has given us to be able to bow our knees before Him and to lift our voices and our hearts and our thoughts and our desires in a humble attitude of submission before Him. What a privilege it is to be able to go before the Lord and present our needs unto Him, to lay our cares and our burdens at His feet, and to know that He will hear us and that He will answer us. In 2 Nephi, in the 14th chapter, I'm going to read the 11th and 12th verses. It's on page 164. For if you would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. If we hearken unto the Spirit of God, that Spirit of God teaches us that we must pray, that we can't be slack in our prayer, that we can't put it off, that we must pray. But that spirit of the adversary is going to teach us not to pray. And sometimes in our lives that we must resist that temptation to put it off. We must resist the temptation to not lift our voices. And I think we've all experienced that particular feeling. Well, I just don't feel like it today, or I feel like my prayers are not being heard or being answered. Or it's too much trouble. I think we've all experienced those kind of feelings. But continuing in the 12th verse says, But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, for ye must not perform anything unto the Lord. And here is a commandment, I believe, that the Lord has given us, that we're not to perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that He will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. All that we desire to do must be for the Lord. And we need to pray that the Lord will consecrate that effort. It says here, for the welfare of thy soul. You know, there's an attitude that we must have when we approach the Lord for Him to hear us. You know, first we have to overcome that temptation not to pray. For we must be diligent in our prayer. We must. You know, I've heard the thought from time to time, well, it's such a small thing, I don't want to burden the Lord with it.
But the Lord wants to be burdened, if we can use that word. He wants us to cast every care upon Him. He wants us to approach Him for every single need that we have. No matter how insignificant we may feel it is, we need to be in the habit of approaching the Lord. Because sometimes, if we give in and say, well, that's not important and I don't feel I need to burden the Lord with it, then that's an opportunity we've missed to visit with the Lord, to talk with the Lord. And the next time, we may do the same thing, and finally we get to the point where we've lost communication. But in 3 Nephi, in the 6th chapter, and the Lord was speaking to His disciples. He had been speaking to the multitude, and then He turned to His disciples and He was speaking to them. But I think we can apply it to all members of the body of Christ. On page 641, 3 Nephi chapter 6, I'm going to read the 11th and the 12th verses. And the Lord says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient is the day unto the evil thereof." But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're not to be overly concerned with the things of the world, our financial well-being, or how we're going to care for our families. But we need to be concerned and we need to be diligent in that. But sometimes we get overburdened with the cares of life. But He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And He's telling His disciples that these things, their clothes and their food and their shelter, would be provided for. And if we're diligent in our daily lives and being good stewards and good laborers, those things of life will be provided. So let us not be so consumed with the cares of life that we forget to pray. We need to be concerned and we need to provide for our families and those around us. But sometimes the temporal things of life consume us. And we need to take the time to pray and to put God first. Moroni in chapter 7. I'm going to read the 8th verse. And these are attitudes that we must have, I believe, to have an effective prayer unto the Lord. We need to put the kingdom of heaven first. We need to put God first in our lives. And in the 8th verse of chapter 7, page 764, "And likewise also it is counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither he will he give a good gift." We need to pray with real intent. We need to bow our knees and humble ourselves before God, expecting Him to hear us, expecting Him to answer us. You know, I don't think that we can approach the Lord and half-heartedly offer a prayer unto Him first thing in the morning, or perhaps we forget in the morning and just last thing we do before we go to bed, well, I better offer a few words to the Lord. And we kind of do it half-heartedly, in a hurry. Or sometimes, and we're going to cover this a little bit more, but sometimes we don't really expect the Lord to hear us and to answer us. But we need to approach Him. We must approach the Lord. We must believe that He hears us, and we must have the faith that when we approach Him, that we know He hears us. And be confident. Be confident in Him that He will direct us. You know, at the youth camp this summer, our theme was trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord that He will hear us. And to put our affairs in His hands, A lot of times, and I've been guilty of this more times than one, that I put my affairs in the Lord's hands, and then I go about and try to figure it out in my own humanness, in my own way. Trying to tell the Lord, well, this will work, and this will work, and this is what would be best for me and my family. And come to find out that my humanness and my way of thinking wasn't exactly best for my family, or for myself, or for the work of the gospel. I've had to learn to wait before the Lord. I've had to learn to trust in Him. I've had to learn that when I place it at His feet and have that confidence that He will hear me and answer my prayer, to wait patiently before Him. To wait patiently for that answer and for His direction. Because if I'm sincere in my prayer and if I'm sincere in my desire before Him, there's no doubt that He will direct my path. And if you're sincere in your effort, in your desire, there's no doubt in my mind that He will direct your path. We just need to leave it in the Lord's hands. We must have that real intent of heart. We must be fervent in our prayer. We must approach Him knowing that He will hear us and answer us. In James, the first chapter, chapter 1 of James, I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith. So we must have faith. We must have faith in God. In Paul's writings, we read that without faith it's impossible to please Him. So we must have faith. We must ask in faith. Faith believing that He will hear and answer us. So there's nothing wavering. We cannot have any doubt. But we must be firm in our knowledge that He will hear us and will answer us. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, if we approach the Lord with the attitude, well, I know what the Scripture says and I know that He'll answer prayer. But yeah, I'm not sure He's going to answer mine. I'm not sure that He's going to hear my prayer and that He's going to give me the direction and the counsel that I stand in need of. We have to approach Him with the desire and with the confidence within our hearts that when we approach Him that He will hear us and that He will answer us. Well, it may take a while, and that perhaps is a failing of us human beings, is that if we don't receive that answer instantly, well, yeah, He hasn't heard us. And I need to go about it my own human way. Perhaps, to a certain extent, that's a product of our society. You know, our society teaches us instant gratification and instant answers to things. We have to learn to have patience. Sometimes it takes years, for the Lord to answer a prayer. And the natural tendency is to become perhaps discouraged or despondent. You know, we all have those human emotions that we go through when we're waiting for something. But I found that even while we're waiting, that from time to time the Lord assures us that it's in His hand. He touches us with His Spirit and gives us an assurance that, yes, I'm directing you. Have patience. Have faith. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When I read that eighth verse, you know, I pondered upon, what does it mean to be double-minded? Two thoughts come to my mind when I read that. A double-minded man is that, well, we approach the Lord, but we don't have the faith. We don't have the faith to really believe that He's going to hear us. So we, on one hand, we approach the Lord and ask for something. On the other hand, we're not real sure that He's going to do it for us. And if we go to the Lord and ask Him for something and get up, and then we go about the ways of the world, we succumb to the temptations of life. Our minds are not set strongly in the gospel of Christ, and we tend to waver. We tend to waver. We tend to go with the waves of the sea, and we succumb to temptation, weaknesses. We need to pray that we'll be strong. We need to pray that the Lord will help us to overcome temptations. We need to pray that the Lord will take maybe thoughts and desires from our hearts and our minds. We need to pray to be firm and steadfast. The 16th chapter of Alma. Verse 219, page 429. I'm just going to read that one verse, verse 219. And I'm only going to concern ourselves with a part of that verse. It says, "Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry to Him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness." The part I want to concern ourselves with right now is just humble ourselves. We must be humble. If we're going to approach the Lord in prayer, we must be humble. We must be willing to submit ourselves to Him and be open and receptive to His answer. We must be open to His answer. And that's maybe the key to prayer, is to be open to His answer. Not approaching Him with our preconceived ideas and course that we've already set and just asking the Lord to bless our effort. We need to approach the Lord and say, "Lord, what do You want me to do? How do You want me to proceed? Is my desire that I have Your desire for me? Is the course that I've set before me the course that You want me to walk? And Lord, if it's not, change my heart, change my mind, and open the way. Open the direction that You want me to go." And He will answer us. He will direct us. But we must be willing to change our thought, perhaps, or change our desire, or change the intent that we have. We must be humble. We cannot approach the Lord in sincerity and ask for His direction if we're not a humble people. James chapter 4. Third, and I think I'll just read the third and fourth verses of the fourth chapter. It says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." I think I'm going to stop there. We ask amiss. James goes on and says that we may consume it upon our lusts. The things that we desire, the things that we want out of life, are what we go to the Lord for. And He says, "Well, that's not what you really need." We have to learn. I believe we have to learn to approach the Lord and turn it over to Him. And turn it over to Him completely. Let's be careful what we pray for. Let's not pray for things that we feel we need. Let us not pray for the Lord to do it our way. We need to learn to pray for the Lord to do it His way. Open our hearts and our minds to the leading of the Spirit of God and allow Him to direct us. 3 Nephi in the 8th chapter. The Lord gives us a couple promises when we pray. Page 652, says, "For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you." And sometimes we're not sure what is right. And that's the time when we need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, is my desire righteous before you? Is what I want right? Lord, if it's not, change it. Make my desire righteous." And then we can be sure that the Lord will give us what we stand in need of, what we need. Going back to the 6th chapter, 3 Nephi. In the 23rd verse, page 642, he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, the Lord wants to give us of the goodness of heaven. He wants to. He wants to do for us. He's like a father who loves his children and wants to do good for his children. Wants to direct his children, wants to lead his children. He wants to give us good things. He really does. And all he wants in return is our obedience and our commitment to him. That's what he expects from us, our service. He expects our service. He expects us to worship him, to praise him, to serve him. And the wonderful thing about God is that he'll take us. And if we're humble and submissive and truly desirous to be a humble servant, a humble follower, that he will take our hearts and he will take our minds and he will mold us and shape us and strengthen us. And in our weaknesses, will make us strong. But we must have that sincere desire to do his will and to serve him. Because he wants us to be happy. He wants his children to be happy. Well, that doesn't mean that we're never going to have a trial or a tribulation, that we're never going to have sorrow, or we're going to have those things. But in those sorrows and in those trials and in those tribulations, he will strengthen us. And he will make us a stronger people. He will make us a better people. We need those things. We need those things in our lives to make us a more complete person. We need to experience sorrow. We need to experience troubles in life and heartaches. Those are what build us. They're character building exercises. For if we never had any trials or tribulations or sorrow, how would we know? How would we appreciate what the Lord has given us? I made a list of 5 things that I feel that we need to pray for. Oh, and there are others. There are other things. But 5 things that I think are important for us to pray for. We touched upon one already. Let's turn back to the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi. And I'm going to begin at the 47th verse. On page 651. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him." We need to pray that we will not be tempted Or maybe I should say that we'll not succumb to that temptation, because that temptation is there, and we can allow ourselves to yield to it. But we're to pray not to be tempted. The Lord says that there's no temptation common to man that doesn't tempt us, but He also said that there's no temptation that He does not provide a way of escape. That way is there if we want to seek it and find it and utilize it. The escape is there. Going on in verse 48, "As I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example before you." And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude, and he said the same words, basically, to the multitude as he said to his disciples. "And saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation." We need to pray against the powers of Satan that we are not led into temptation. "For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Satan desires to have us, and we must pray against the powers of Satan. Turning back to Alma in the 16th chapter, and we touched upon this also. I'm going to read verse 220. We already read verse 219 where he says, "Cry over your household, your families. Pray for your families. Crying to him over the crops of your field," verse 220, "that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field that they may increase." We're supposed to pray for the welfare, our welfare. Now, it doesn't mean we're to pray to get rich, but we're to pray that we can support and provide for those we love. Verse 222, "Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you." We're to pray for our families and we're to pray for those who are around us. Going back to the 8th chapter of 3 Nephi. Verses 53 and 54 on page 652. "And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and ye shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world." We're to pray for those who may be searching for the truth of the gospel. Praying for the welfare of the souls of the children of men. We need to pray for the work of the gospel. In the 5th chapter of 3 Nephi. Verses 89 through 91. Page 638. "Words of the Lord said, And behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." We're to pray for our enemies. Pray for those whom we don't perhaps like. Pray for those who may be persecuting us and troubling us and pointing their finger at us. For those who don't exactly think the way we do. And the promise is there, if we do that, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. So not only pray for our families and for the welfare of those who are around us, our friends, our brothers and sisters, but for those who perhaps don't think the way we do, perhaps causes a little bit of heartache and concern in this life. We're to pray for them. Page 639. The Lord gave us a blueprint of how to pray. He said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We're supposed to approach the Lord in deep respect, in reverence to his name. It's not to be treated lightly. Prayer is a serious thing. Thy will, not my will, not Brian's will, not Hubert's will, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray that the Lord's will be done. We place it at the Lord's feet and ask him to do his will. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We ask for forgiveness. The Lord has also said that if we cannot forgive those who have trespassed against us and did evil to us, that we cannot expect the Lord to forgive us. So we need to pray for forgiveness for our sins, and we need to pray that we would have the heart and the mind to forgive others. We must forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. A temptation is a testing or a trial, an enticement. We're asking the Lord to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when we pray those words, and we may not pray it exactly as the Lord prayed it, but when we pour out our hearts unto the Lord and ask the Lord to keep us from temptation, to keep us from evil, to keep us from the powers of Satan, we need to do our part. We need to remove ourselves from that temptation. We need to remove ourselves from that thing that may entice us. We need to stay away from those things that could lead us down that broad and wide path. We can't expect the Lord to keep us from temptation if we get up from our prayer and go right back to the place where we were, that we're going to be easily led. If there's something in our lives that really troubles us and gives us a hard time, remove ourselves from it. Stay as far away from it as possible. Run from it. Run from it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're acknowledging the Lord's power. We're acknowledging that the Lord is all in all. That we, as human beings, are nothing. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful privilege that we have to come before the Lord. That we can cry unto the Lord for forgiveness for our sins. That we can cry unto the Lord to change our hearts, to change our minds. That we can place before him the desire of our heart. That we can ask for the welfare of our families. The welfare of the Church of Christ. The welfare of the gospel, of the children of men. Let us pray for the children of men. Let us pray that this gospel will go forth amongst God's ancient covenant people. That needs to be a diligent prayer. As we labor on the Navajo reservation, we need your prayers. We need the prayers of the people of the Church of Christ. When Don and Jay go to Mexico, they need your prayers. Our brothers and sisters down there need your prayers. We go to New York. We go to Canada. The missionaries need your prayers. It's important. And we don't know what avail our prayers will have. So let us be diligent in praying for all the things that the Church of Christ stands in need of, that the gospel stands in need of, and that we as individuals, our families, ourselves, what we stand in need of, let us approach the Lord for those needs, and He will answer us. He truly will answer us. He wants to. He's eager to answer us. All He wants us to do is to come before Him in the manner that He has prescribed. Let us do that, and let us allow the Lord to direct ourselves, our personal lives. Let Him direct our personal lives. Let Him prepare us for the work that lies ahead. And don't be afraid to approach the Lord for all the needs. And for the work of the gospel, it's so important. It's so important. The Lord will hear our prayers. I thank You for the time.
Bow your heads. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to You in reverence for Your holy name and for Your power and Your majesty, we give You thanks for the joy which we have received through Your Son and for the happiness and the hope which we have. We pray now that You will accept of our prayers up unto Thee as we offer them in sincerity. We ask that You will bless us and help us, Father, to pray more fervently, more earnestly, more effectively for those things which are most important, and to never cease in our desires towards Thee, to pray continually, always and ever, about the welfare of our own souls and the welfare of Your kingdom here upon the earth, and those things which are so important, the spreading of this gospel among Your ancient covenant people. We do pray and ask that we may be able to help Thee to fulfill this great promise to Your ancient covenant people. With us, we leave ourselves in Your care. We pray in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.